This is exactly right.
Hi, I'm Erin Welsh.
And I'm Erin Alman Updike, and we're the hosts of This Podcast Will Kill You on Exactly Right.
We're back with our seventh season, which is bigger and better than ever.
Because guess what? We're now a weekly show.
This season, we're tackling everything from long COVID to norovirus, from the supplement industry to IVF, and so, so much more.
New episodes drop every single Tuesday.
Follow This Podcast Will Kill You wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Lady to Lady listeners, we wanted to let you know we recorded this episode a few weeks ago. And before we get to this episode, we want to take a moment to address the June 24th Supreme Court decision to overturn Roe versus Wade. This decision stripped away the legal right to have a safe and legal abortion.
Restricting access to comprehensive reproductive care, including abortion, threatens the health and independence of all Americans. This decision could also lead to the loss of other rights.
To learn more about what you can do to help, go to choice.crd.co. We encourage you to speak up, take care, and spread the word.
I'm Babs Gray, and I woke up this morning thinking I was going to crush my goals, and then that Ryan Gosling Ken pick dropped. I'm not doing...
I'm Brandi Posey, and can we talk about Slender Man's thigh gap, though? Oh, my God.
I'm Tess Barker, and I forgot my Facebook password, so I guess that's that.
That's so refreshing.
And this is Lady to Lady.
Can you keep it a secret?
Neither can we.
We got Barbara, Brandy, and of course Big Tess. We got a show for everyone. That's the fucking best. Come on, baby, it's time to hang out with your favorite ladies. Lady to Lady, Lady to Lady.
Hi, welcome to the show. Yay. Woo.
Tess, congratulations on getting off of Facebook.
Thank you.
Very
involuntarily
happy,
but still
involuntarily. And also it was the least of my problems already, but
yeah,
it's something.
yeah
when I forget, there was that month that I got locked out of my Twitter because I changed my phone number and I had two-factor authentication on, and that was a great month. That was awesome.
How does one fix it when that happens?
You have to email. It's just enough of a pain in the ass. You have to email them, I think, with a picture of your driver's license, or you holding your driver's license or something. Yeah.
So I know our friend comedian Nicole fucking Yates. Her Instagram got hacked.
Yes.
And the person's been messaging her, being like, "Send me a $50 gift card, and I'll give it back."
Yeah.
And I'm just like, how is fuck Instagram? I'm so fucking annoyed that they didn't give it back to her.
No, messaging her on her cat's Instagram account. So,
insane.
She's communicating with her through her cat's Instagram.
Because they messaged me
asshole.
And I just fucked with it. Every time, you can tell a hacker, I just fuck with them.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It's just like,
it's insane.
Yeah, I had that happen too with one of my old editors. Their quote unquote Instagram messaged me and and I was like, if this is really in that person's name, and I was like, where did we work together? And they go, I don't remember. I'm like, yeah, you'd remember. You're a bot.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you would know.
That's what's creepy is they're not bots. They're like real people.
Yeah,
I know. I thought it was a bot, but that's so much scarier that it's like a real fucking creeper.
No, it's real people like hacking in there. Yeah. So just a heads up, everybody. There's a lot of shit going. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do your two-factor authentication. A lot of people are getting hacked lately. Just like make sure to guard all your shit.
Watch your shit. And then also like my friend Angela is like a psychic and she keeps having all these fake different ones pop up that are like messaging all of her followers to be like, hello, beloved, would you like a reading for $55 or whatever? Mm-hmm. And like, heads up, anybody that's worth a shit is not going to be asking you for money in your DMs. Like they're not, these aren't real people. Nobody actually says beloved unless you are a fake person impersonating somebody else.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of fake people like who copy celebrity profiles and message people. I had one guy pretend he was Mike D from the Beastie Boys and we went back and forth forever. And I just started like, I was just quoting like lyrics at him and he was like, what's going on? But yeah, it's wild out there. Be careful in those internet streets.
Burn it all. I'm done.
We're done.
I hate it. Yeah. Honestly, yeah. I have nothing like all. All I do is yell at people that already agree with me, and I'm over it.
Yeah. Yeah. We could get rid of everything but RSS feeds. I'd be okay with that.
Yeah, we can keep this podcast. This podcast will be the lone beacon of light.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. Love it.
If you want to see us IRL, I've got my regular monthly comedy show, which is the second Thursday of every month. It's at the Airliner. I co-host it with Ashley Ray, who's very funny. We had her on recently. So if you want to ever come check that out, come check it out. The next show is July 14th. And you can go to highgear.eventbrite.com for tickets for that.
Hell yeah. Come see us. Follow us all on all the socials so you can come see us live when we have dates and everything.
Your stand-up's getting back. You know, everybody's out there doing it. So come see us perform. We tweet out our shows.
Brandy, did you want to picture this?
Oh, I don't have another one until August. But I've got one at the end of August. Follow me on all the shit. Picture This is amazing. It's back live in LA. I fucking love it so much. And then I'll be touring in the later half of this year. So if you want to see us live and you don't live in LA, let us know where you want us to come.
Oh, yeah. Let us know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, I'm going to know where you guys live and I'll come through. It's a blast.
Yeah. We'll come to your house and bring pizza. I won't do that, but.
Yeah. If you throw me a house party show and you send me a picture of you with your driver's license, like a two-factor authentication, I will come do a show there. I love a house party show.
And we will order pizza. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. So who do we have today on the show?
We have a very cool gal. She's the co-founder of Betches Media, which has like a ton of podcasts and Instagram and blogs that just have all this like really funny content for millennial women. And she is the co-host of the You Up podcast, and her new podcast is called Oversharing. She co-hosts it with her sister, who is a therapist, and they give advice on interpersonal relationships and navigate their own personal situations with dating and work and all of that. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, she was super fun to chat with, and please enjoy our hang with Jordana Abraham. Well, should we get into it, ladies? Let's say hi to our guest, Jordana Abraham. Hello.
Hello. Thank you for having me. Very excited to be here.
Yeah. Thanks for being here.
Yeah. It's exciting.
I'm so excited to have you here. I feel like Betches is just such a cool, I don't know, cool brand. I feel so dorky saying that.
Yeah. Congratulations on your cool brand. There are many uncool brands, but you have managed to have a cool
one. Yes, exactly. You've managed to crush it.
Thank you. That was definitely the goal. As uncool as it sounds for the goal to be cool. Yes.
We all know that at the end of the day, our goal is to be cool. I think
of course. It's the meaning of life. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Speaking of being cool, I actually need to talk about something very uncool that I just discovered moments before we started recording. You guys, are my read receipts on my phone?
Oh my God.
No, not that I've seen.
Okay, because I just texted myself. I just texted myself a picture, and then I looked at my phone, and it said read at 9:36, and I was like, oh my God, are my read receipts on?
We would have told you.
Okay. Okay.
I just had this issue actually like 2 days ago. Someone was like, do you know your read receipts are on? I was like, oh my God. That's mortifying. I didn't know how long it was.
I
spent like half an hour trying to figure out how to get it off. It was like, felt like there was like a parasite on me.
I'm so sorry.
I didn't realize this was such a thing.
Oh, yeah.
Because
you don't want like... If it says red at a certain time, that means that like, you know, they've seen it and there's like an awkwardness.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But when there's not there, it's like, oh yeah, they could see it at any time. Right. There's no pressure.
See, you know? Exactly. See, Rick and I keep ours on just with each other because that way we don't have to respond to shit.
Oh, I didn't even know you could do that.
I don't have to say anything. Yeah, you can do it for individual people.
Wait, what do you mean you have to respond to shit?
Well, if he knows that I've seen something that I'm not like, has he seen that yet or whatever? Like,
Logistics wise too. That's probably helpful. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like great with that. Like if he's like, all right, cool. I just pulled up. He doesn't have to be like, oh, okay. I'll be out in a minute or whatever. He just like sees it. I know I see him a few minutes later.
See, I would not want that with Sean because I do ignore texts from him sometimes.
Yeah, no, I need that. You need that space to be able to ignore.
Yeah.
And there's just no like, that's hey, so I'm funny. So sorry I haven't gotten back when it's like, obviously, you know, most people read their text right away. Sometimes I don't. I don't know. It just depends. And so then it's so awkward if that like timestamp is just sitting there telling you both. Yikes.
See, I view it as, I think it's kind of a power move. I'm just like, yeah, I'll get back to you when I fucking feel like getting back to you. And you will like, know that it's hours
find
later.
Someone with that confidence to have read receipts on and act as if they don't.
Yeah.
That's what we're all looking for. Yes. In the
yeah,
world.
Find that space in your heart.
So yeah, Jordana, your new podcast is out, Oversharing. Tell us, you know, how it's going. How you came up with the idea and all that stuff.
Sure. My main podcast that I've had since 2017 with comedian Jared Fried is You Up, and we talk a lot about like dating issues and you know, like just problems in every stage of dating. But my new podcast, Oversharing, is with my sister. She's 10 years older than me, and she's a clinical therapist. And I thought it would be one great to have an outlet to just, I love it, all things interpersonal relationships, really, like friendships, coworkers, anything where you could have like some sort of, I just love drama really, but I call interpersonal relationships is sort of like the euphemism for that.
Hot so, goss.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I've had my own therapist for years. And I always thought like, wouldn't it be interesting if you could, cause sometimes you get very different advice from your friends and your therapist, and it's just like a totally different vibe. So I thought like, wouldn't it be cool if you could have brunch with your therapist and your best friend and tell them the same situation and see like the difference in their responses? Like how would they respond? How would they bring their own unique angle? Because I mean, obviously therapist is a trained person who's like trained and licensed to like give you advice, or more to like let you almost give yourself advice by helping you see patterns in your behavior. But sometimes I found with my own therapist, like sometimes their advice just doesn't seem like that applicable to the real world. I'm like, well, I could never really do that in practice. And I think that's where the best friend angle comes in, where she'd be like, oh, you can't text that. Like that's absurd to like a guy that you were seeing or something.
Yeah.
Right. Your therapist isn't going to say that. They're going to be like, well, how do you feel about?
Exactly.
Yeah. That's so true. Like your best friend can contextualize, like, look, you're never going to have an empty Gmail box. And your therapist might be like, that's a good goal. And your best friend's just like, you're not that person. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Exactly. It's just not going to happen for you.
So that's really the crux of the pitch for that show.
So what was it like growing up with like, or I mean, obviously she wasn't a therapist when you were younger, but
or
you
was
know,
she?
Did you think she would become that? Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, was she like having a sister? As a
was she like Lucy with like the therapist is in booth when you guys were growing up?
Well, she's, I mean, it's, but we come from another part of, I guess, the show is we come from a very large blended family. Like we are, we're 9 kids in our family and our parents are, you know, we have the same mom. We have a different dad. She's from my mom's first marriage. And my dad has also, I have a sister from my dad, from his, there's a lot of like blended family dynamics in all of that. And you've seen a lot of like dysfunctional relationships and just the way everyone's interacting with each other. So I think it led both of us to sort of focus or sort of be fixated on, you know, what does a healthy relationship look like? And again, there's probably like 5 marriages and divorces between all of our parents and all of that. So it's like, what does a healthy relationship look like? Why, you know, what are the barriers to having one? How can we improve them? Has always been focus for both of us. And I think for her, she's a little bit more, I don't know. She's so meditative and like, you know what I mean? Like introspective and very, just a very always just like super grounded and down to earth. And I think that she's definitely had that through my childhood, but I'm not surprised that it became her career.
Yeah. Gotcha.
I like that because I feel like it's also close to comedians where it's like, okay, my family fucked me up. How can I use this as a career?
Totally. Yes. Yeah. How can I channel this into something that makes me money?
Yeah. Right.
Where are you in the birth order of that? Where are you in the birth order of that 9?
It's so funny. It's such a complicated question. So my mom has 4 kids with her first husband. My dad has 1 daughter from his first marriage. And then they had 4 kids together. And I'm the 2nd of the 4 kids they had together. I'm my mom's 6th of 8 of all 9. I'm 7 of 9. And my dad's 3rd of 5th. So it's like a, I guess so of all like, 9, I'm 7. I'm towards the bottom.
Okay. You're in the baby batch.
Turned into that gif of the woman with all the formulas next to her face. That's for sure what just happened.
Everyone's like, can you write down a tree? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm the oldest of 7. My youngest brother is 8.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's a,
yeah. So, you have a similar, you have like a similar mm-hmm. situation.
Same
yeah.
parents or?
No. Super okay. mixed. It's all, well, it's all my yeah. dad, when Pablo Picasso. Right. Yeah.
That checks. Yeah.
Yeah.
So were you like always trying to go to her for advice, or how did that mix? Cause she's your sister, you know, it's like she could be more real with you, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, she always was like, because she's 10 years older, I think she'd almost had already gone through everything that I was going through right. just a decade earlier, and had, it was mm-hmm. great to even just as a sister, not even as a therapist, it was great to have the perspective of someone, you know, who's had already been through it, and just mm-hmm. having her insights on that was always been really helpful. And she's always been like, well, there's five sisters within the group. So she's been like the oldest. So she's always kind of been that person for not just me, but my younger sisters and my other older sisters.
Right.
What do you think, so as sweet. Someone that is interested in and studies interpersonal relationships, if you had to choose one, what do you think is the most complicated type of relationship?
I mean, I think that in the dating and romantic sense, that's always such a complicated one, because I think that it's so societally driven. It's based on so many expectations right. and there's yeah. so many different things that go in. I think it shifts the most, and your expectations are like, that's you know what I mean? If you're married, if you're living with someone, that's your every single day. So there's so much, I think, that goes into that. And also just like what you're meant to believe you're supposed to get from one person versus what is realistic and what you actually get. There's just like a lot more, mm-hmm. I think, that you need to consider than, let's say, a friendship or a sibling relationship, where maybe you can see them as much as you want. But if you're married to someone, that's, you know, it's every day, and it's hopefully for your whole life. So I think that's probably the most complex to me.
Yeah, that makes sense. And that's also the person that you're making the most joint decisions with.
Right. Probably. Yes. Yeah. It's like every aspect of your life, I guess, besides maybe like work. But also they would have some input in that dimension as well. You know, money, finances, all that stuff.
At least it appears as though you're making decisions together. You let them.
Exactly. Usually it's really one person.
Yeah.
I have a question for you guys about this is like, maybe I've talked about this before, but I like know nothing about my therapist, and I feel like it's so awkward because I've been seeing her for so long, and like, now that we do it on Zoom, I see her in different locations sometimes, but I don't know where mm-hmm. she is. You know what I mean? And I'm like, did she move? Is she? I don't know. I don't know if she's married. I don't know if she has kids. I don't know literally anything about her.
Do you feel rude? So, like, this seems like a one-sided relationship.
Yeah, it feels very rude. And it's like, she'll be like, how are you? And then I want to be like, well, how are you? And I'm like, oh, I don't, like, I guess I'm paying to not ask you.
Time is money. I hope you're great. Okay.
But it just feels like, it feels very awkward at some point that I legit... I'm sure she would be, if I just said like, you know what, I feel weird that I don't know anything about you, she'd be totally cool. But it's just, it's one of the things where like, you know, you've been calling someone by the wrong name the whole time, and it's been too long to like go back or something.
Totally.
Yeah. I mean, like, I think if it
mom?
Would,
yeah.
If it would make you feel more comfortable knowing, I think that's like okay within the space of therapy to know if she's married. Or I think little questions like that, if you would feel more comfortable having that context, I think that would be okay to ask.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know if it matters really, but it's just like a funny thing.
Have you Google stalked her and seen if you can find anything?
She is nowhere. She has no amazing. Social media. Has nothing.
I've looked up my therapist. He has a very like generic name, but I've looked him up just praying that I wouldn't find anything to like turn me off.
Right.
His essence. Thankfully, I haven't found anything online, and I think that there would be nothing more mortifying to me than being able to see a social media page of my therapist. I think.
Oh my god.
Yeah. I can't imagine anything.
Because I put them on a pedestal of like complete, you know, like emotional health, and I would hate to find out that they do something like weird online.
Yeah, a therapist having a TikTok just like lip syncing to shit for whatever reason that upsets me.
I feel like I know they're really dedicated when they don't have that, like social media. Or at least I can't find it. You know, they
or at least
me from access.
That seems like someone who understands mental health too. If you don't have social media.
Yeah, at the very least, they just have a Finsta, and you're never going to find it.
Yeah, then it makes it extra funny when I'm explaining things that, like, I've been affected by that are related to social media, because you're like, I'm like, so sorry I'm explaining this meme to you or whatever it is. What was I explaining to her the other day? I don't know. Yeah, it was something about TikTok, and it just felt that's ridiculous.
So funny. Yeah, I think therapists and teachers have to, like, hide themselves online quite a bit, because, like, students definitely, my friends that are teachers have been like, oh, yeah, my students have found me, and I've had to, like, I have fake names online because of it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when I was in middle school, I remember, like, a bunch of kids found my art teacher's, like, dating profile somehow, and I was like, oh, my God.
No.
Which was probably, like, mortifying for her. I remember it going, like, around. And this was when it was all on a website. This was probably, like, 2005 or something.
Right.
And that's got to be, like, terrible. I'm sure people have gotten a lot smarter about things since then.
Yeah. Poor teachers. Because they're just, like, smart people who need a job. I mean, they're... My mom was a retired teacher, but she, like, would not even go out to a restaurant, out to a Target, a grocery. When she left her school, she drove 15 miles and didn't get out of the car because she was, like, so terrified of being spotted.
That's so funny.
By a child in the wild.
I have something really embarrassing to say, and I don't think I've ever talked about it on here.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It's so embarrassing.
Oh, my God.
Okay. Oh, my God.
Well, this is exciting.
Back in the day, I was an early adopter of, like, being on the internet looking for horny shit or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so, like, when I first moved to LA, I think a few years in, I think I posted a Craigslist personal ad with a photo. And I, like, literally said in the ad that I was good at kissing. Kill me now. Don't know why. As though a woman posting a personal ad needed to add it literally any detail
in case anyone was on the fence.
I'm sure I got a million emails and that was like the tipper. I can't believe I wrote that in a thing.
How old were you?
This was probably like, I was probably like 27.
Okay.
Oh, damn. All right.
I was living in LA.
When I knew you did this.
Yeah. Okay. I wrote that I was a good kisser. I was not 15 years old. So I don't know why I'm saying early adopter. I just mean that, like, I was always, like, doing weird shit online, you know?
Before it was cool.
Yeah.
Right.
So our friend, John Durnell, comedian, texted me.
No.
And said something like, oh, so you're a good kisser, huh? And I was mortified. So embarrassed. I'm still so I can't believe I did that.
Whoa.
Fucking idiot. I learned a good lesson. Like, don't post your photo, don't say ridiculous things. So anyway, there's that. But yeah, I get why the teachers are
Oh, yeah.
Teachers can't do that. Teachers can't be advertising that they're good kissers.
No. Or be prepared to pay for it.
I know there has been teachers gotten fired for, like, posting fucking photos online and shit. That's just ridiculous. It's like, okay, this has nothing to do with their teaching career, but thanks.
Right. And, like, they already don't make that much money. Like, leave them the fuck alone once they're off the clock. Jesus Christ.
Kids are ruthless.
They are.
I forget if I've told this story in the podcast before, but when I was substitute teaching, I had this day where I was teaching junior high art, and I hated junior high kids. They're so mean. And they fucked up the art room, like, so bad, and they refused to clean it up. So I had to be a bitch. And I was like, nobody's going to recess until this room gets cleaned up. And I blocked the door and made them all miss recess. And I was like a huge power bitch move, because that's how you
have to teach
junior high. Thank you. But then... concurrently, I was a waitress at an Italian restaurant.
Oh, no.
And that night, when I was working my shift, I'm busy as fuck, and I go up to a table, and my stupid Italian waiter, I'm wearing a goddamn tie and shoes for cruise, and I go up to this table, and I just hear Miss Barker, and it was one of the kids from the art class that day who I had just, like, disciplined. I had to wait on them.
Oh my God.
In your little tie.
That's like a sitcom story.
Yeah.
Wait, shoes for cruise?
You should have been like clean up the table.
Like restaurant shoes.
No.
Yeah, you do this.
Yeah, yeah.
You're like, well, you're not going home.
You're getting a lot of life lessons today, kid, and so am I. Fuck you.
This is what art really looks like, kid.
Yeah.
Shoes for cruise are shoes that you have to buy when you work at a restaurant that are like grippy enough to walk through a kitchen, and they're like really ugly and industrial looking. Yeah.
Hot damn. I thought they were like Tom Cruise's brand of shoes that he wears to make him look taller or something.
Yeah, just a little lift.
We're gonna take a break. We'll be back with some fun. Bye.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Lady. I'm Brandy.
I'm Babs.
I'm Tess.
I'm Jordana.
And we're going to ask you some questions to get to know you a little bit better. Very exciting.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Who, what, where, when? Who, what, where, when? Who, what, where, when? Who, what, where, when?
Why? Okay, Jordana, who's the biggest dreamboat? I just wanted to use that word.
Now?
Dreamboat.
Or like...
It's open to... You know.
In the personally, in the zeitgeist, however you feel like answering.
When I was young, I had a weird crush on Brendan Fraser.
Yeah.
Aged a little weirdly, but I feel like there was something about him. And the mummy school ties days. Yes. Just like kind of like hot nerd-ish kind of like vibe. Yeah.
He's like an like an all-American sweetheart, nerdy, like good-hearted.
Yeah, he's
cutie,
in like a different
boy.
Way, which is always attractive. Mm-hmm.
He has really pretty eyes.
Yeah,
kind.
They're
eyes.
Very kind. Well, yes. Yeah, extremely kind.
Babs, did you think about dreamboats because of the Ryan Gosling picture that dropped yesterday?
Yeah, yeah, I couldn't. I can't get it out of my mind.
I know.
Because of Barbie.
Yes, Ryan Gosling is Ken, and I'm not even a Ryan Gosling person. Yeah. I don't even find him that attractive, but that picture just like did something to me.
I can't wait. I love how there's little snippets they're dropping from this thing. I was like very intrigued.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll be great. Yeah, but. There's just dreamboat. That's the word. I was like, dreamboat. That's what he is.
Although the outfit was a little weird. I don't know. I feel like if you saw someone in real life wearing that, it would be.
No, it was very like Ken doll.
Yes.
Yeah. It was very like David LaChapelle.
Right.
But I think.
Yeah, with like the almost fake abs, like the almost sprayed on abs.
Yeah. It really begged the question, does Ken have a dick now?
Yes. That is I know.
Yeah.
It's a big question.
I guess maybe we'll find out in the movie.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy Priceline.
You might.
I hope there's a sex scene where it's just the two of them just like getting pushed against each other, just
I
the way that the Barbies
fuck. I think that there will be. I think that they will lean
really
into
funny.
The us ever
the weirdness.
Making their Barbies fuck. Yeah.
It would just be really funny if they just like green screen two people just like slamming into each other.
Oh my God. I really hope so.
I would love to see that.
Just
be
some
so
giant
funny.
Hands come in and
yeah, exactly.
Okay, Brendan Fraser, very good answer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, love
Thank
him.
You.
Still love him. Mm. The Renaissance is real and it's exciting to see.
This is a hard turn, right? But what's the story behind how Betches got started?
Sure. So Betches was started out of our college apartment in 2011 with me and my two roommates. And it was really just meant, it started as just like a blog on a website. It was really just meant to kind of like make fun of our college life, our sorority life, like just kind of joking about how ridiculous the culture around us was. And we made a blog post on a WordPress blog. We put it on one person's Facebook wall. The whole thing sounds extremely 2011. Put it on one person's Facebook wall. And it kind of just like went viral from there. And that was really the launch of the company. And we were seniors in college, so we were kind of like, this sounds better than getting a real job. Let's see where this could go. So.
Yeah. Wow. That's really fortuitous that you like straight out of college already, you didn't even have to go through the transition period of like, oh, fuck, what now?
Yeah. I mean, we weren't making too much money. So it was still kind of like, how long should we give this thing to see if it, mm-hmm. it really turns into something that could, you know, where we could, you know, pay for a life out of our parents' basements.
Yeah.
But yeah, thankfully, you know, we figured it out and now I don't live in my mom's basement anymore. So.
Oh, hell congrats.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I was going to say great, great lighting in that basement.
okay. Jordiana, when do you know it's over?
A relationship.
Whatever yes. that means.
Yeah. That's probably yeah. what it means. It, yeah, just probably. Being vague.
Okay.
Or a yeah. job or whatever, whatever you want. Yeah.
Yep. Right. That's a tough question, actually. I think a lot of people struggle with that. I think it's over when it's more work than it is positive, when it's more, when there's, when, you know, you're, cause obviously mm-hmm. every relationship of any kind has positive things and negative things. Even if you have the best job in the world, there's some things you don't want to do. Even if you have the best relationship, there's some things you argue about. But I would say like, yeah. I would look at the, obviously it's hard to come up with an exact percent. But if you're kind of like, am I happy more than I'm not happy? Am I putting more effort and time and energy into making this work? And the payoff seems very, very small. Like I like to think of things almost like in an efficiency energy kind of way. Is this mm-hmm. worth doubling down on and investing more in? Or is it kind of the thing where both people might be happier if we cut our losses and found something that would be better?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I feel like, you know, a lot of times we don't come to that conclusion until much later when that that percentage right. has hindsight. Already happened.
Yeah.
But you're like, you know, it's hard to come to terms with that, I think, in your head.
100%. And I mean, it's so hard, especially like every, you know, some relationships are easier to get out of. Some people have kids. Right. Some people have, you know, some people have jobs that they're more invested in. I think it mm-hmm. it can depend, but I'd like to think of that as sort of like the starting line for how to think
about
it. Yeah.
It's the beginning mm-hmm. for the plan to start coming together or whatever.
Yeah. And I think conversely, people can sometimes take the first sign of difficulty as a sign that they should quit. When you're right to that other point, there is going to be discomfort in any situation.
Totally.
And yeah. that's not necessarily a sign that you should bail.
And sometimes the discomfort, if you do feel like it's worth it, if you work through it, I mean, I talk about this with my sister a lot because she does a lot of couples therapy. Like mm-hmm. you could find a, if you work through it like the correct way, you could come out with something way better than that you started with. So it really depends on, you know, what the issue is, how intense it is. And again, how much effort compared to like what the potential upside is.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm in the, you know, longest relationship I've ever been in, and we just, you know, kind of were having like a rough patch, and it was like I think the biggest time I was ever confronted with that, like, because my instinct in the past has always been just like, oh well, this must not be right, you
right
know, I'm out. Yeah. And so mm-hmm. it was like I literally had to say to myself like, yeah, you're gonna have to work on something. And like it just was like, oh really? Like,
yeah.
You know, because it's fucking hard and it's yeah, mm-hmm. it takes a lot of work, but I, you know, but and, you know, we're still working through things, but like seeing that, like sticking it out and all that stuff, I see, you know, the growth from it for sure.
Totally.
Yeah, I think especially when you're like an independent person, I think you can have that instinct very easily of like, well, fuck it, I'll be fine later. And like, I remember the first time after I got married, it was such a trip that we got in a fight. Like the ring actually is like kind of a heavy thing because it was such a weird sensation of like, no, you're still married to this person. Like, you can say fuck you all you want, but like, you're fucking married to this person.
Right.
Like,
it's going to take a lot now for you to get out of this.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's like a judge with a robe involved now. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
With the government involved. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I think that's good. All right. Okay. Where's the wildest night you've had taken place?
The wildest night? Should be like obvious, right?
Not a lot of fun.
I feel like I don't even feel like I could answer that because I've had a lot of fun nights and I'm like, they're all very hazy.
Right. Yeah. Like, how do And it's hard to remember. I had a great night in Ibiza, I would say.
Oh, cool.
Once.
Is it Ibiza or Ibiza?
It's probably the way you said it, but I'm very bad at pronouncing things. I've taken a lot of really, when I was single, I took so many fun girls trips with my friends because we were all like kind of married a little later. And I think that we were like, why do we have to wait for a bachelorette party to go on a cool trip? Like, let's just take a fun trip with our friends earlier. So we had a lot
of
fun.
I also feel like there's way less pressure then too.
Totally. Mm-hmm. And everyone wants to be there. They're not there because Jessica's making you go to Nashville and wear like a stupid shirt.
Yeah. There's not like the weird home friend that you're all like, well, and hi.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Do you think, as someone who's never been to Ibiza, do you age out of Ibiza or do you think I could still go?
I think you could still go. I went to Mykonos last summer and I was worried about having aged out of it. But I feel like it's about a mindset, you know? Are you ready? I think it's
I'm ready.
I wouldn't go with a kid. But like, I think if you're in the right, and it's kind of funny, like everyone can be any age they want to with the right circumstances. So if you're like, do you know what I mean? It depends on how you've set yourself up for that night. Have you done your best to thwart your responsibilities for that time period? And then you can really have a great time.
That's a really good point. Yeah. You just have to pre-plan a little bit more and maybe have like a liquid IV.
Exactly. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I will say last night I was behind a guy. He had like a little sports car and the plate said Mr. Vodka and he was an old man. He had like Larry David hair. Yep. And like Mr. Vodka, I don't think is worrying about how if
being
he's,
too old.
Being too old.
No.
Yeah.
No, Mr. Vodka's out here.
Yeah.
It's true. And like, also like if you do, I find that when I party with people that are like my parents' age or older, like the people that are still partying at that age will drink you under the table.
Totally.
Like, oh yeah. They know what they're doing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Totally agree.
Yeah.
That guy's just looking for his Mrs. Vodka. Maybe.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There
was...
yeah. Little his and hers roadsters would be so cute.
Hey, I've heard he's a great kisser. Okay. Jordana. Why don't we table this until next time? I didn't write that.
I did. I thought it was funny. It's a stupid question. It's just a stupid question.
We just throw in random ones in there to, you know, confuse all of us and enjoy our time. So
I just love it. I love corporate office speak. Like that kind of dialogue is always like very funny to me.
Let's circle back.
That stuff like only exists in that space.
I always know I've been in like an office job too long when that's like become my normal.
You're saying it in everyday life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, can you imagine saying let's circle back to somebody like out in the world at lunch or something?
Circle back on dinner. And what we're having for dinner. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Let's put a pin in this brunch.
Yeah.
Oh, no. No. None of it's good.
Okay. We're going to take another break and then we'll be back with Lady Problems. Hi, everybody. We're back on Lady to Lady. I'm Babs.
I'm Brandy.
I'm Tess.
I'm Jordana.
And we're going to do some lady problems. Very excited to have you here since you do a lot of advice giving. Mm-hmm. If you, the listener, have a lady problem, please send it to us. You can write one to us at ladytoladycomedy@gmail.com or you can give us a voicemail at 323-6-BUT-30. Ha ha.
Lady problems, do you have them? Lady problems, do you have them? People have them.
Hey ladies, this is so weird. So I have a lady problem. To preface this, I'm a gay 24-year-old guy living in Indiana. I just got a boyfriend that, like, out of nowhere, like, we're in love and shit. But my problem is, for my past relationships, I've had a lot of trust issues and abandonment issues that I've been cheated on and all that good stuff. But the problem is, it's affecting this relationship, even though this guy is, like, completely perfect and has never given me a reason to think otherwise. It's just some triggers when, like, guys from his past hit him up. Like, an old friend just tried to, like, get with him out of nowhere. But I know he shut this shit down. So I just need advice, like, how do you, you know, kind of get over these, like, stupid thoughts? And, like, how do you go about talking about it? Because sometimes it affects us when we get in, not fights or anything like that, but just, he's just as frustrated as much as I am. But, yeah, I love your input. Love the podcast. Bye.
Yeah, I mean, I would first say to try and have a little bit more compassion for yourself. You know, you said that they were stupid thoughts, and it's like, well, no, they're not. You've been hurt. You have every right to, mm-hmm. like, have reactions, based on your experience in the past. So I would be a little bit easier on yourself as far as just, like, thinking, you know, you're dumb or something like that, because you're not. You're just trying to protect yourself because of what's happened in the past, you know?
Totally. I think this is sort of like, it's like two, almost like a two-pronged approach here. So there's one thing that he's saying is like his own personal things to deal with, right? And that would be there, whether he had this amazing new partner or not, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then there's how he deals with them when things come up with his partner, which is like the second part of it. So I think like one thing is getting yourself, is figuring out how to process and move through that problem and kind of like work it out in a way that where you don't feel very like triggered by things that come up. And that's probably work you need to do on your own, maybe with the help of a therapist. That usually really helps people kind of like guide that process. And I think there's so much out there in the therapy space now, so much innovative stuff. I'm sure you guys have heard of like Talkspace or any of those companies that make finding a therapist a lot more accessible. And then I think there's the second part of like what to do when these things come up in the relationship. And I think this is almost like sometimes if you do it right, it can bring you closer to the person. So if you're feeling like really triggered because something comes up that makes you think like, oh, maybe I'm scared now this person's going to cheat on me. Like instead of, I think our first reaction is usually to get angry or defensive or like put it out in a way that seems aggressive. But I think if you can sort of take a step back and say, okay, like, how am I feeling? Like, before you react, like, how am I feeling that this person got this text from this person I know is trying to, like, hook up with them or something like that? And then you can almost, if you have a little space from it, you can come to that person, your person that you're with, your partner, and be like, I'm just feeling, you could just say how you're feeling. And that usually makes them, like, want to help you and work through it with you as opposed to, like, reacting in anger. So if you're like, this past experience that I've had is making me sort of irrationally worried that you're going to be cheating on me. And it's making me really anxious. And I know I trust you and I know that it's nothing that you're doing, but just this past experience that I had just makes me so concerned. So I just letting you know how I feel. And then almost like you just start with how you feel, the other person then will like move towards you instead of like feeling like you're accusing them of something or you're paranoid, which makes them usually move away from you.
Mm-hmm. Totally. I agree. I mean, it sounds like he is talking a little bit about it with his boyfriend, but I think the more you can kind of vocalize it and like turn the lights on, the less you're going to be scared. It's not going to be like the scary thing in the shadows.
Right.
I think the more that you can talk about it, the less it'll probably come up, because the more you're vocalizing it and bringing it out there, I think it will naturally be something that you stop being so worried about, because you're going to see it in the light of day and you're going to see it for what it is, which is just trauma from your past relationships. And And I think this idea that, oh, you're kind of gaslighting yourself a little bit. Like, I'm being dumb. I'm having these dumb thoughts. And that's probably causing you to some degree to repress these emotions, because you're like, I don't want to burden him with this. But don't, right. I think just go the opposite way and let it out. And I think it will naturally kind of just, you're going to, by talking it out, you're going to see that it's not real. You're making it real by suppressing it, I think.
And I think so much anxiety around this kind of thing can also come from the fact that when we get cheated on, we think it's because there's something wrong with us.
Right.
Versus it being something that the other person needs to be dealing with, you know, to whatever various different degrees. So I think it also is just like, I feel when you're like, oh God, I'm unworthy and I don't deserve somebody to be faithful to me too. And I think that is like where so much of that anxiety comes from, because it triggers that feeling of like, oh shit, I don't deserve this. I don't deserve this. And it's so much like a thing for the other person to like be working on, and who knows what the fuck they're going through too. If you're a reader, there's a great book that I read a couple of years ago called The State of Affairs, Rethinking Infidelity by Esther
Love
Perel.
Love that book.
It's phenomenal. And she's a therapist that's been, around for a very long time and has done a ton of couples therapy. And she just goes through all the different reasons, like why this happens in different relationships and how you can work through it, like when it's time to say goodbye and like what it actually means. And it's not necessarily that this is like a bad person. It's that they had like, you know, there's any number of reasons like why shit happens, but it's not because you are an unworthy person that deserved that ever. That's never the answer.
Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of times with trauma too, there is a tendency to personalize it, because in a way that's sort of you, it's a way for you to actually have control, because if it was your fault, then you could control this thing that actually was totally out of your control, which is sort of a scary thought too.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it was just something that was out of your control, and it wasn't you. It was this other person. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting because, like, you know, most anxiety, like, for me, always leads back to kind of what I was saying in the beginning, is like protection. You know, we're always trying to protect ourselves. And whether that's doing something bad for us or, you know, whatever it is, like, that really is what it comes down to. So I think, you know, you can do that to a fault, like, sometimes, and then you maybe start to build walls or have that paranoia, you know, because you have these expectations that aren't necessarily real for this relationship. So just know that it is like coming from a place where you know want to be healthy and be good to yourself, but maybe it's kind of manifesting itself in non-healthy ways. So it does sound like you're cognizant of it and that you are in a good relationship, and like, so yeah, I think you're in a good place if you do just open up and keep communicating.
Did he say
happy for you guys, you're in love. I mean, you sound like sounds like you're in a good place, and it's a different situation than, you know, maybe in the past, so that's great.
Yeah. And I mean, I remember there was something that a friend of mine said to me. I had just gotten out of a breakup, and I was telling her, like, every single guy I date, all I can think about is like how it's gonna end, you know, because I had just gone through like this terrible breakup. And she was like, well, do you think often about how you're gonna die? And I was like, no. She was, and like, and something about that was just kind of like reminded me, like, oh yeah, like you don't know, like there's no sense in trying to like plot the end point. It might end, but like just be here now, you know, like,
right. It's hard. Yeah. If you don't have any control, it can be scary, but that can almost be like, if you accept that, then you can like really live in the moment, which is nice. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
I saw like a t-shirt. I'm so sorry. I'm quoting like a t-shirt or something. I don't know.
I love t-shirts.
How many fonts are on it?
I think it was a meme. It was something. It said something like, anxiety is just your brain making up conspiracy theories. And I really liked that, because it was just like a nice way to couch, like, obviously it's couched in reality a bit because of what you've been through. But also like, yeah, our brains love to just make up these scenarios that are most likely not reality.
Yeah, exactly. We used to have to fight off saber-toothed tigers, and now, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, woo, what's coming around the bend?
What could that be? Yeah.
But good luck. I'm excited for you. And I think all of us see bright things in the future.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Okay, let me do the next one.
Hey, so I just started listening to your podcast recently, and I'm going to jump on the opportunity to talk lady to lady, because I have no freaking ladies to talk to. So my issue is that all my friends are boys. And like, once I started dating my boyfriend, I started hanging out with all of his friends, and all my girlfriends ended up moving away. So, like, I don't know how to make more girlfriends. So, like, all my boyfriend friends, like, they're my friends, too, now. Like, I love them, and, like, I love hanging out with them, and I don't feel like I'm, like, third wheeling with my boyfriend and his friends. But every time I go to, like, bars or parties or anything, like, I, like, show up with a bunch of boys, and then maybe a girl or two will talk to me. And then, like, if I think that we're, like, going to be friends, then I'll, like, ask for their phone number or their Snapchat or something. And then the next day, they never text me back. And I also had an issue where, like, this girl was like, yeah, we're going to be best fucking friends. Like, you know, and then I, like, text her and we were hanging out a lot. And then I found out, like, literally the only reason why she was coming out to hang out with me was because she wanted to get with my roommate, who is a dude, because I live with a bunch of dudes. And I was just like, I don't want to be one of those picky girls who's like, all my friends are guys. Like, I'm so cool. I want to have a girlfriend so bad because I don't have anyone to talk to about, like, birth control and, like, freaking all this girl stuff, because I've, like, talked to them, or, like, I just want to have a sleepover and, like, sit there and, like, do my toenails and, like, gossip, and, like, I can't do that because I literally only hang out with dudes, and I don't understand how to make friends with girls, and it kind of sucks.
Aww.
Funny.
I mean, I were just laughing because it was the sleepover thing was very cute.
That's very cute. It was very sweet.
I mean, I will say, I don't think bars are the place.
I was thinking
bars are good for, they're bar friendships. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's so much fun. You get revved up on each other and you're like, we're going to hang out. And then it's not good. It doesn't, you know, people just don't follow through on that shit because you're drunk and...
Yeah,
totally. You know, and I mean, I guess I maybe met a few friends that way, but I feel like legit friends are people you meet through, like, kind of like getting to know over, you know, a little time period because you're seeing them regularly. So I would take a class or do something where you're, like, seeing people regularly and getting to know them, you know?
I agree. Totally. Also, based on, like, an interest that you have that's out, it sounds like she's only meeting people through these guys that she already knows. When it's like, if you're looking for a different kind of friendship, I think you need to do a different separate activity that's a little bit different. I think a class, like you said, is a really good idea, or think about, like, whatever her interests are, you know, it's intramural sports league, something like that, a book club, like
volunteering,
any kind of that thing like that. Cause then you're actually meeting people who have a similar interest in you and they're more likely to want to talk to you about whatever that is. And they'll be like a more genuine friendship than something you see at a bar, which I agree with you is not a best place. Not where I think of, like, as the place to pick up.
I mean, it can happen, but I just know that, like, every time I've ever gotten stoked on someone I've met at a bar, usually, like, you know, that's the only time we hang out.
I agree. And I mean, I agree that she should look outside of this boyfriend friend group, but also, like, do any of these guys have girlfriends or wives? Like, I've definitely, you know, kindled friendships with, like, my husband's friends' partners, and that can be fun too, because then they can go off and do their thing and then you can hang out with the girls. And I think, I mean, you're doing the right thing, I think, in terms of, like, asking for their number and seeing if they want to hang out. I would just keep doing that, like, when you meet someone. I mean, I think that's the right instinct to ask, you know, if you've hung out with someone if you do take a class and you've hung out with someone a couple times, just be like, hey, would you want to grab coffee next time after, or, you know, like, whatever it is.
Yeah.
I mean, we all became friends because, you know, we were doing open mics all the time. And so, you know, you see someone five nights a week and you're like,
eventually you're going to talk to them.
You become friends because it'd be really weird to not.
And you have a shared interest. Like, you already bonded by the fact that you like comedy and that, you know, that's something you have to naturally talk about, which is why the activity thing, I think, is a great suggestion. Yeah.
Or, like, start a meetup group. Like, start one, you know? I mean, that might be another option. If that doesn't exist, whatever your interests are, if you're not finding a place for yourself to go, like, enjoy that, then make your own situation.
Yeah, I mean, I know Facebook is, like, you know, for old people, but it is good for stuff like this because, you know, there's a lot of local meetup groups for, like, a lot of different places. You know, LA's huge, but it has this one group where people will just post, like, hey, you know, I'm new to the area. I'm looking to make new friends. And other people will be like, me too. Let's go to brunch. So I think you can definitely find stuff that way. Or, yeah, like hiking groups, whatever it is, where people are already organizing like things. Or, yeah, make your own if there isn't one. But I would look into that for sure, because you know what? There's definitely girls out there who feel the exact same way you do. And you guys just need to find each other.
Yeah, absolutely. It'd be funny to have a meetup group that was just like girlfriends, the world unite or something.
Did you guys, there was like this viral thing, I don't know, 6 months ago or something, where these two guys, they were just really sweet, and they were posting these videos like, hey, we're just like looking for more friends, so if you guys want to like come hang out by the lake with us, let us know.
Aww.
Like, aww, it was just sweet. Really cute.
I love
like,
that
video, and all these people responded, and I think like came out and hung out with them. So I don't know if you want to do that. That's a, you know, especially as a girl, it's a little different, but
yeah.
It was just like I think people genuinely do, you know, people are lonely and they want connection.
Yeah.
Like people want it, you know, it's just, mm-hmm. it's harder to find sometimes. You just have to kind of put a little bit of like elbow grease in.
And like, I'm such a proponent of going places by yourself. Like that is how mm-hmm. I think a really yeah. good way to meet people. And you're just so much more observant when you're not there with anyone else to talk to. Like, I feel like you experience the world in such a more kind of present way when you're somewhere alone. So
mm-hmm.
yeah, I don't know, maybe do go to like a wine bar or something by yourself, because I think that's different too than being there with all your bro friends. Like maybe you will right. be able to have a more meaningful conversation if you're just there with your book or whatever and there's some other cool girls there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're more yeah. inviting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And I don't know, we'll comment on our like the Instagram post about this, where you live, and if we have anybody that lives nearby, maybe you could do like a lady to lady meetup or something.
Yeah, we've had a few people do that before.
Somebody
was just talking about meeting up with someone else who was writing into the show. So wherever you are, there might be another listener nearby. You guys can meet up and talk about us.
Yeah, you have us in common, so you know.
You guys can start your own lady problem thing where you like answer the advice that you know we're answering.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Good luck. Yeah, it's. I feel like making friendships, especially you get older, is like. We get questions about that like fairly often. I think it's one of the harder relationships to do. I mean, there is literally. I guess there is like Bumble for friends and stuff. Which I know some people have
Bumble
used.
BFF. I think it's called. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, I think also Facebook groups, like if there's any sort of interest in a, like if mm-hmm. if you have mm-hmm. any kind of like joining those groups of people who have similar interests, if you're not like, if you don't know of any actual physical activities you can do, I feel like people are very open to meeting up or meeting people for all sorts of things on that. Those
there's everything. Yeah, there's plant groups, there's like interior design, DIY, like whatever mm-hmm. you know you are into out there.
Yeah, definitely. You sound a little bit younger, but back in the day, there were these things called message boards that we were all on, and you made fast friends with people on your message boards back in the day. Like, I know Bab says, like, there are marriages that have happened because of Beastie Boys message boards.
Where do the message boards live?
I mean, I don't know where they're not now, around but, anymore. Yeah.
But, like, Facebook and stuff, I think, is, like, the equivalent.
Yeah.
I'll give another embarrassing Craigslist story.
Oh my God. Babs just twiddled her fingers together. I just want everyone to know.
I do think I've told this one before, but it's been a while. I met a friend. So if Facebook used to have a strictly platonic section, Craigslist, mm. they might mm-hmm. still have it. Mm-hmm. And it was mm-hmm. literally for people who were like, I want friends. So I became friends with this one girl and she lived close to me and we hung out a few times. And then she asked to hang out one night and I like didn't want to or something. So I think I like said, I lied and said I was busy. And then I had all these photos of me at this party, Cases and Eighths party, which was where you divide up into team and one of you have to drink a case of beer and smoke an eighth of weed between uh-huh. you. Very, very fun. But these photos of us ended up on Facebook and she got pissed. She was like, you said you couldn't hang out. You should have just told me. So, you know, but we're still Facebook friends and I watched her have a baby and stuff. So, wow. Okay. I don't know what example that was giving, but, you know, put yourself out there.
Yeah.
You know, there's only so much that.
Also, you know, all your girlfriends that moved away, like, I mean, obviously this isn't a sustainable always solution, but like, can you guys plan on like getting together or like going to visit them? Like now you've got destinations that you are allowed to go to.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
And sometimes those longer weekends are like more, like really fill you up more than a one-off dinner or something like that. Anyway.
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah,
Sedona, go to Sedona with your girlfriends.
Yeah, that's very true. And stay in touch with them. You know, I think like it's so hard to make yourself keep your connections up sometimes. And like,
yeah,
but like, call, yeah, just FaceTime them, call them up and like talk, and that will fill you up too, I think. So don't let those connections lapse just because they moved, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, that's our show, Jordana. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me. It's so fun. I got to talk about all the things I love. Frasier. Friendships.
Yes.
Relationships.
Hell yeah.
Where can everyone find your show and anything else that you have online?
I have two shows, You Up and Oversharing, everywhere you find your podcasts. I'm at Jordana Abraham on Instagram. And we've got some live shows coming up in the next couple months if you check out the Betches website. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Sweet.
Very exciting.
Thank you.
Thanks for having
me. Thanks for hanging with us.
Yeah. And we'll see everybody next week. Bye, y'all.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
3, 2, 3. 6 but 30.
It's 6 but 30 somewhere.
Hi, ladies. I'm Kelsey from New Jersey, and I just want to let you know that my school had not jogathons, but we had walkathons where you'd have to do the same thing and have people sign up to pay for every lap that you did. But also my school did like chocolate sales, so we would sell chocolate bars for $1, and I made bank with that. And the least likely place that sold out all of my boxes time after time again was the dentist office. My local dentist office would buy out my boxes of chocolate for $1. One of the dentists truly would just throw me $5 and just say, keep it. But I have been passing down that little secret mine gem to all the people that I can since now I'm no longer in high school, because you make so much bank there. And I was fortunate enough that I didn't really need to fundraise for trips, but I would fundraise for my friends so that my friends can come on trips with me. So if you guys are ever like, I don't need a fundraise, I can pay for this. Honestly, paying for someone else to come on a trip with you just feels so much better. Okay, have a nice day. Love you, ladies. Bye.
Hi, ladies. Just listening to the latest episode, and you guys were asking about tips for exploding toiletry bottles while traveling. Here's a tip. Unscrew the top of the bottle, take a little piece of Saran wrap, cover the opening of the bottle, and then screw the top back on. I don't know. It's worked for me in the past. I've never had any exploding incidents. So, disclaimer, if it happens to you, don't come back to me. But so far, it's worked for me. So, there you go. Happy travels.
Lady to Lady is produced by Katie Levine. Get tons of bonus content, discounted tickets for live shows, and lots more at patreon.com/ladytolady.
Follow us on Instagram at @lady2ladycomedy and give your input on lady problems and get info about upcoming live shows.
And hey, don't forget to follow our individual accounts on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at Babs Gray, Brandazzle, and Testify Barker. Follow Lady to Lady on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen so you don't miss an episode.
If you like what you hear, you can rate and review the show.
Visit exactlyrightstore.com to purchase Lady to Lady merch.